All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
You guys can just puck off, eh? That's the name of our show. And it's Fraser Smith along with Joe Bartnick and our special guest, Joey.
Yes, the great Earl Skakel.
There he is. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, give it up.
Live.
Yeah, man. He is the king of goon knowledge.
Yeah, he's the king. He really, I mean, in a year of goonism, we had to bring in the goon expert.
The expert.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, when there's a war, you bring in the war expert.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, on the NHL Network, you should be behind a map of all the goons.
Sure, you are the Schwarzkopf of NHL.
Yeah, you got to bring in the experts.
That's it, man.
Well, a little background on Earl. He literally has, 3,000 hockey jerseys in your closet?
Oh, no. It's so many. It's like asking Tommy Lee how many women he's been with.
Right. But I'd
go with you with more jerseys. Not as much
that's
fun.
Tough. That's tough.
No.
Yeah, just as many stains.
Well, that's true.
And blood.
Yeah. Because you literally have he doesn't have 5,000 Steve Yzermans. He has 5,000 of the goons of the world. Every league is and they're all game worn.
Yeah, from the NHL all the way down to the infamous LNAH, which is the Quebec Semi-Pro League.
Man, dude, that's great. I like the way you cover the minors with the goons. Now, how did you get into that, and what do you wear the jerseys on stage and then they send them to you because they think you're going to promote them, kind of?
Well, I used to, and then I did a pilot for Barry Katz, and he yelled at me. He's like, you can't wear logos on stage, you dummy. And so then I bombed miserably. I was like Kiss without the makeup. You know?
Yeah,
like,
come on.
You can't take away my thing. But
try that with Paul Stanley.
Yeah.
Who were you the day you...
I had a Matthew Barnaby jersey on.
Oh, cool.
Ranger jersey, and yeah. I was all pumped up, ready, and right before I go on stage, he's like, you can't wear that. I'm like, oh, why not? He's like, the logos, and I won't say the language he used.
Because he's a Bruin fan.
Probably.
I guess.
Yeah, probably.
He took rivalry week seriously.
So.
Wow, but that will wreck your set when someone tells you to get rid of your favorite, your good luck charm.
Well, I think the Duke lacrosse rape joke probably...
Well, that could have done it, too. That could have done it, yeah.
Too soon.
I like the joke. Now, who do you think was the gooniest goon ever?
Ever or today?
Well, let's go with today first. Who's the biggest goon in the game?
Oh, John Scott. He literally is the biggest
Sabres.
Goon.
Yeah, I despise John Scott.
Now, he's had some suspensions here lately.
Yeah, he should be thrown out of the league. Now, this is funny because I'll never be considered a Lady Bing.
You won't be.
As far as my... No. But when sitting next to the Bob Probert of podcasting...
it's all relative.
Yes. No, I don't think the league needs a 6'8 guy, 270 pounds, who can't skate, who cheap shots scores. That's not what we need in this league. I love guys that are 6'4 that can skate and fight.
But Scott can't skate.
He can't skate.
Now, the other thing is that... you know, a lot of suspensions going on. And I think the Sabres have got a couple guys that have been suspended. It's because they're frustrated, right? They haven't won a game. Or they've won a couple games. They're 2-13 or something.
They are really a pathetic
off
franchise.
Off to a horrible start.
And they let go of Lindy Ruff, who had been there since the earth cooled. And then they won, and who took, literally, he turned crap into diamonds every year. And then they got rid of him. Look what he's doing in Dallas. He's doing a good job turning that franchise around. And what do they have now? A bunch of cheap shot artists. I mean, they're just...
So it's like, if we can't beat you, we're going to hurt you.
Yeah, it's the Flyer method.
Yeah.
Which is,
but
which
at least the Flyers won games.
But John Scott's just too big. You know, the shot on Erickson really wasn't a cheap shot. It's just, he's literally a foot taller than Erickson. And his elbow was just, it's going to be at everyone's head, except for Chara.
Well, that's true. Now, he has to actually elbow up to get Chara. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, these days, it's, you know, the players are bigger. So is that why there's more concussions and stuff going on?
I think there's a couple of reasons why it didn't work. A, they took out the red line, which everybody loves, but guys are skating faster. So they're hitting harder. The elbow pads are also, they're like weapons. They're not little soft pads. They're not little tampons. They're like hard plastic.
But they had elbows back in the day. Why are there more, or they just didn't report concussions back
then? Well, I think that's the number one reason is if you have a headache now, you're still making $3 million. You can take a 3 week break. Right. The old days, they got 15 guys in Hershey that can play left wing.
So you're not coming out.
You're not coming out.
Yeah.
Well, and the size, too. I mean, like when I was a kid watching hockey, Barry Beck was the biggest player in the league, and he was 6'3", 215. That's not even – that's average size.
Yeah, that's nothing these days. Yeah.
And he towered over people. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's true. I think it's just a bigger game now.
I mean,
and probably faster with no red line.
And it's almost like there is so much money involved that, you know what, people want to make a name for themselves. And you know what, people take a five-game suspension to get infamous, to stay on a roster, knock somebody out.
Well, it gets press, but maybe not the kind of press that your team's needing.
Well, you know, I mean, I'll always be a Philly basher, but you know what, that's what the Flyers are looking for. That's what they feed their fans. Look, when they're down 7-0, what do? They just fight, everyone goes home happy.
Well, yeah, but you know what, at least the old Broad Street Bullies could play, too. They had some guys who could score and skate.
Yeah, a few of them, but that was 45 years ago.
Well, who would win between the goons of today and the goons of yesteryear? I mean, you know, could John Scott take on the Hammer?
Oh, I think he'd kill Dave Schultz. I mean, Dave Schultz was like 6 feet, 180, 190.
I think he could kill Dave Schultz. I don't think he could kill Bob Probert, though.
Well, I don't look at Probert as a goon. I almost look at Probert is a modern era goon. I mean, the 70s goons wouldn't have a chance. They're just not big.
No, but I mean, but the 70s goons, other than a few guys, could actually play. I mean, you look at guys like, you know, like Tockett. That man could play the game. Even like the old days, there was power forwards, guys like Shanahan, Tkachuk, Kevin Stevens. Big guys, 6'3", 225, score 80 points, put up 200 penalty minutes just because they're in the mix all the time. Yeah, they're not playing 2 minutes a game. They're having I don't even mind a stage fight. But when you're 6'8", and you're going after a leading scorer on a team, that just hockey doesn't need that.
Well, you don't need to get those marquee guys out of there. That's who people want to see.
You
know?
Exactly.
Although, you know, I did read what's his name, Don Cherry's book. And Don Cherry wants he's a pro goon.
Well, I think when you had fighting was more prevalent in the game, you didn't have as many cheap shots because you knew you had to answer for what you did. So
right.
A guy like Coletta or Cook or even a guy like Dustin Brown on the Kings, you know, if they played in the 70s, they wouldn't have survived because it's like, all right, you're going to be like that?
Well, yeah.
We're going to see. Yeah.
Well, but to differentiate Dustin Brown, the captain of the Kings, to
who I love,
yeah, I do too. To Matt Cook,
Brown's great. Yeah.
To Matt Cook is Matt Cook very, 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 very rarely ever fights after cheap shotting. Dustin Brown hits you wherever he wants to, but he will always turn around with his gloves off and ready to stand up for what he does. And that's the difference. That's what I don't like about, you know, like the Flyers just traded way maxed out, but they got back Downey. Downey cheap shots people, and then he doesn't want to fight. Like, that's exactly what's wrong with the game. If you want to hit someone from behind, then answer the bell. What the NHL needs to do is rescind the instigator penalty. That's why you want to take just what, you know, what you hit Erickson, that's fine. Then that means that Lucic and Chara are coming after you, and they're allowed, period.
Yeah, I think that would sound, yeah.
No, oh, I agree with
settle
you.
Know, down, sure.
You know, that's and that's why the policeman on the ice, because fines are never going to change anything. Suspension are never going to change anything. Getting your head kicked, it's like when you're a little kid. Oh, you're not going to watch TV tonight. That's not the same as having your mom take out the spoon and beat your head in.
Yeah, that's sometimes what it takes. Now, what about, we were talking about the Brashear McSorley thing.
Yes.
And how that was kind of a... You know, too bad for McSorley because he, you know, maybe that was something that he didn't really intend to do. He didn't obviously try to hurt the guy. He was trying to get the guy to fight him
right
again, which is code, right?
Right.
In the NHL. If you fight one time and you lose, you have an option for a rematch, really. It should be, right? That's kind of the code.
Especially back when 10 years ago. Now they kind of like, oh, one fight's enough in today's NHL. But in those days, absolutely. And the thing is, Brashear was a total heavyweight goon. I mean, like, you know, he should want to fight just to pick up the extra penalty minutes for his yearly intake.
Well, he broke the code. You know, a lot of people don't realize why McSorley was so pissed. It wasn't just losing the first fight, but afterwards, Brashear went by the Bruins bench and dusted his hands like, I'm done.
Oh, no.
So that's why Marty was like, no, you're not. And Brashear plays right now in that Goon League in Quebec.
Oh, does he really?
Just, you know, and guys go after him all the time. He cheap shots them. He's like, I don't ask questions up here. You want to fight, I start swinging.
Wow, dude. Is that a Goonie League?
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, at one point, one team was owned by the Hells Angels. And
wow,
many,
cool.
Many documentaries about the league. So it was, they asked George LaRocque to play in it, and he was like, no, thanks.
Well, LaRocque actually turned his back on being a goon.
Yeah.
At the very end, he wanted to escape. When he joined the Penguins, he thought he was an elite, you know, forward.
Well, these guys score, you know, they score one or two goals. They think, oh, I don't have to fight anymore.
No, they're Crosby.
But,
Now, what about who is the biggest? Who is the best fighter? Who's the toughest goon today?
I mean, now,
yeah.
Well, there's not many heavyweights. You know, there's Steve McIntyre, who's probably the most feared. I mean, he hurts people. Yeah. I mean, he'll shatter your orbital bone with a grazed punch.
Yeah, Big Mac. I love Big Mac. He was a Penguin for a couple of years, and then I mean, they never used him because see, the thing is, no one fights him.
Yeah.
He has but he's nice to have on the bench.
Sure.
But now he's in Edmonton, but I think he's pulled his groin or something. Yeah.
But they did do a study the last time. You know, there's this myth that if you have a heavyweight in the lineup, your players won't get injured as much. But his last run in Edmonton, all their major stars had major injuries.
Really? Oh, okay.
So it's...
So that doesn't hold up.
I'll tell you a fighter I like. Literally the old school guy that I still like is Milan Lucic, because he plays the game the right way and he cleans clocks when he checks you. And if you want to go, he will go.
See, I disagree a little bit because, you know, there was a time when he cheap shot at Montreal player, and LaRocque went right out there and he said, let's do it, and he backed down. I think he's a spot picker.
I stand to be corrected, and I did not notice that event.
See, I would spot pick all the time. Like, I'll be on the bench.
But you're not Milan Lucic.
That's true.
Well, yeah, well, you know what? Lucic should fight LaRocque. That's his mistake.
Well, he cheap-shotted.
That's his mistake, though.
Really, and, you know, who was it? In Buffalo last year when he ran Miller. You know, he kind of looked around and picked the smallest saber, even though they were all converging on him.
None of those sabers wanted to fight LaRocque.
But that's
they were like picking straws and cutting them themselves. I mean,
well, someone should.
No, I mean that's what's wrong with the Buffalo franchise to this day was they were so embarrassed that then they went out and got a bunch of guys that couldn't play. And Steve Ott, he can't play. He couldn't play in the Quebec League anymore. They went and got him, and they got Coletta. Well, they had Coletta. They got John Scott because they weren't tough enough, and now they can't beat anybody.
Now they're too tough, but they can't skate.
Exactly.
Well, their owner's like Jerry Jones. He's like, oh, I want to own a hockey team. He threw all this money. I mean, he spent millions renovating the locker room, and like he knows everything but what to do with a hockey team.
Yeah, he gave Lenny Vino $5 million a year, and I can put as many points up as he can.
Yeah.
Well, they're off to a horrible start. What do they do?
The only team worse is the Philadelphia Flyers.
They got to rebuild. You got to trade Miller next. You know, they got a lot of picks. They actually have a very good farm system.
You know what, though? That was a terrible trade they made. I mean, like, they could have got more for Vanek than that.
Yeah, but Vanek's leaving at the end of the year. So is Molson.
I mean, the funny thing is I think Molson actually is like, I would probably rather have, well, the Penguins, I'll say my team, the Penguins, just because we have enough Vaneks. I think I'd rather have Molson.
See,
I
put Molson in just for product placement.
Yeah.
Come on. It's on the sweater.
I like Molson, though. I mean, I think the Islanders did a hell of a deal on that. They got draft picks back.
They got
Molson
and
that
picks.
Draft pick's protected.
And I think they'll end up trading Molson at the deadline. So Buffalo,
I mean, that was. They should have waited until the deadline, and someone will pick him up and give him. They give him a lot.
Now, has there ever been a team that's totally turned it around? That started off horrible, beginning of the season like that, and then won
I don't
it?
Know about 2-13. I mean, there's.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, I remember the one year the Chargers went to the Super Bowl when they were 0-4, but I can't recall a hockey team.
Well, the Red Wings, I think, 2 years ago started off in a really bad hole and came back. But not 2-13. I mean, that would never happen to Ken Holland. I mean, in Detroit, you know.
What is the worst record in NHL history?
I know the Red Wings in the mid '80s, right before they got great, had a couple like 20-19 win seasons. I mean, people forget how bad the Red Wings were
prior to their run.
I think pre-Lemieux was like 11 wins, but they officially tanked like the last four games. It's like that could be an ESPN 30 for 30, like how the Penguins got Lemieux.
do teams do that, purposely tank to get somebody?
It's tough now because they have the lottery.
Yeah,
right. Like the Thrashers were pretty bad, I think their first year or two, and like 17 win seasons or.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? You know, Buffalo is looking at Buffalo could hit some rock bottom this. I mean, they're bad.
Well, they're going to trade Miller, so once they get rid of him, I mean.
You think a top minor league team could beat him?
I don't know.
That's.
I was hearing a coach say it's really a big jump from juniors to NHL.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just look at the guys that come up. You know, there's only a few guys that come up and make an impact from the minor leagues. You know, look at the Penguins this year have had like five guys come up. Only Megna's had a goal, had a point. Other three have just like free skated like in the ice capades. They're like behind they're not in the play.
Now the miners are always known for being kind of wild. How close to the movie Slapshot are the miners?
Well, in the 70s and 80s, very close.
Right. They have those traveling franchises on buses.
Charlestown Chiefs were literally modeled after a team. I forget the team.
But, Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Well, I mean, it still is that way to an extent. I mean, guys in the minors, like now very rarely. I mean, I think now the highest, maybe a guy will hit like 220 in PIMS. Penalty minutes, and that's like, you know, a few major like game game misconducts, like a bunch of them. Guys in the minors will still rack up like 350, 370. I mean, there's like three guys on every minor league team that has like 300 penalty minutes, because they really do got to sell that in small markets and small towns, and you know, people are going to see a couple fights. I mean, you need to have the high. It's not the Red Wings versus the Maple Leafs with all the high end talent, you know.
Right,
they're just fighting. You know, it's the entertainment dollar.
Now, when I go to Vegas, I always see that team, the Wranglers.
The Wranglers, yeah.
Yeah. Now, have you ever seen a Wranglers game?
Yeah, yeah. I had a friend who played on them.
Did you?
Yeah.
How good are they?
I don't think people go to a game in Vegas to critique the hockey, so they're good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
were they fun to watch?
I mean, it's ECHL, so I would say probably 90% of the roster are guys who know they're not going to make it, even to the AHL, let alone very few guys, you know, make it to the NHL from the Vegas Wranglers. But I think the goalie Brizgalov is going to play for them, and just to get his feet wet, and hopefully the team will take
him out.
Here's
an interesting fact. Pittsburgh Penguin defenseman / forward who has two goals, two more than Flyer captain Claude Giroux, I may add, was a Las Vegas Wrangler, Derek Englund.
Is that right?
Ango was a Wrangler. Yeah.
Wow, it sounds like a song.
Well, Mike Smith, the goalie on Phoenix, has more goals than John Scott. Which is pretty bad. But, you know, back to the fighting in the minors and juniors, they're cutting it down. Like, in juniors now, you can't take your helmet off. They wear full shields. So, you know, it's tough for goons to get established in juniors, because with all the anti-fighting rules, they don't fight as much. So then they get to the AHL. And
it's hard to punch through that visor.
Well, that's another thing, too, is a lot more NHL guys are coming from college. In college, they wear the full motorcycle helmet.
Well, in college, you don't see a lot of
fighting. There's no fighting, because there's just no fight. I mean,
now, how good are those college guys coming on?
Oh, they're good.
Yeah, I mean, some are better than others. It used to be good players would go to juniors, but now a few are staying to go to the American colleges.
And do you think American college hockey's come up?
Absolutely.
I mean, there's like six or seven great programs, and then, you know, Michigan and Michigan State and Boston.
Yeah.
But
the thing the pros like about them is they've played at a high level for 4 years. And then they end up when they're like 22, 23, as opposed to taking a chance on a kid that's 17.
Yeah.
Playing against 15-year-olds.
Sure. Okay.
They're men coming into the league.
But I think junior hockey is still played at more of a pro-level program. Like, it gets you better prepared for the pros.
Longer season, right?
It's a longer season. The travel's very similar. College, you know, you have a couple games a week, and you're taking the bus to most of them. I don't think it prepares a lot of kids for...
Right. And also college is, it's not the SEC. So those kids actually do have to go to school.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see anybody anti-SEC.
Oh, really? Yeah. I love that. Next week when we have our college football podcast, I'll tell you how much I love the SEC.
Oh, you do, really? Oh, man. All right. Well,
you're a Big Ten guy.
I am, Shane, and we're in trouble.
I've heard.
Well, Big Ten is great for college hockey, though. That is
true. College hockey rules in the Big Ten. I went to Western Michigan. We had a team.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. We're getting good. Broncos? Yeah.
Who was the star? Did you have
Dennis Balta. Dennis Balta, my buddy.
Isn't that where the Millers are from? All the Millers went to Western.
Yeah, yeah. We've had one guy in the NHL. He lasted a day.
No, really?
A day.
That's longer
Western
than...
was a powerhouse.
Yeah. Now, I Googled the top three score. I made that up. I don't know. I make a lot of stuff up on this show. The top three scores. Point leaders. Here we go. Crosby.
Oh, of course.
Leading it. 8 goals so far, 15 assists. Steven Stamkos, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, he's one of the top five players.
11 goals, 9 assists. And Sedin.
Which one?
Hendrick.
Okay.
Hendrick. He's more assists than goals, right?
Yeah, he's got 16 assists and 3 goals.
You know who's really coming on strong right now is Tomas Steen.
Really?
The kid from St. Louis. And he's has 12 goals and 1 assist. So it's one of my favorite nicknames. When you have those stats, they call him Cy Young.
Right. Okay. Yeah, sure.
You never pass the puck.
I remember his dad played on Winnipeg. He was a great player. So
now they're doing well. St. Louis is looking good, right?
Yeah. You know, my thing with St. Louis is always Hitchcock. They always got big guys that check and check and check. But then when it comes to playoffs, everyone plays that way. They can't score.
Well, here's your top four teams right now. Okay. Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah.
Killing everybody.
Patrick Waugh.
12-1. Yeah, Patrick Waugh doing a good job behind the bench.
Oh, remember he's slamming the glass?
I loved it.
Boudreau?
Yeah.
That was the
Beisty.
He wanted to get into it.
Yeah. Man. Oh, yeah. He's Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, man. And then Anaheim having a real good start.
Ducks are great.
The Ducks are
4 lines.
Three.
They got two real defensemen. Two real goalies. Thing with the Ducks is Boudreau is always, you know, Scotty Bowman in October, and then he's Bob Barry in April and May.
Right.
And the most interesting thing about Boudreau is he was supposed to be on one of those flights on 9/11.
Wow.
He actually had a ticket, but he changed it at the last minute.
Wow. A couple of hockey players were, though, weren't they?
Who was it? Mark Bavis, who was a scout for the Kings, and a very famous player. He was also a scout, Bavis. Bailey.
Champ Bailey.
Champ Bailey was. He survived. He was the only surviving.
I don't know. But yeah, there were a couple of players. Well, you also have Pittsburgh at the top, 11-4.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, and Fleury's playing great. The Flower is hanging in there.
And the Kings' ex-goaltender got a shutout for the Penguins.
Yeah, Zakov. The first two games, I was proposing to put one of those things you buy at Dick's Sporting Goods, the little little cardboard thing with the holes, because he was terrible. But
well, you know, it's got to be pretty. This is his first legitimate NHL action, so I'm sure he's a little overwhelmed.
Yeah, you know what the problem is, and I watch every second of every game. I listen to Penguin Radio 24/7. The only problem is, as fun as it is, nothing matters until the playoffs with the Penguins.
Yeah.
Well,
it's sad because, I mean, you enjoy Crosby, you enjoy Dupuis, you enjoy, you know, Gino. But it's like, man, it's just, you know, they're going to be in first place the whole year. It's a matter of, are they going to choke?
Well, and then there's other teams that coast and barely get in, and then they do great in the playoffs. You know, it's just some.
It's going to come down to Pittsburgh and Boston, maybe Toronto. I mean, you know, Toronto should have knocked. The sad thing about all last year was I was literally like hoping Boston. But I don't hate Boston. I waited 5 years to see Boston play Pittsburgh in the conference finals, and then when they were up 3 goals against Toronto, or when Toronto's up 3 goals, I'm like, I hope Boston scores a couple just to make this interesting.
Now, was it just me, or did it seem like the Blackhawks went right at Chara?
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah. You know, he had such a great series the series before. And then in that series against Blackhawks, they were just running at him.
Well, he kind of ran out of gas. I mean, he basically talked about this last time. He just basically got double shifted.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of shifts. Yeah.
And I think he just kind of ran out of gas. And Chicago's a great team. So, I mean, you know.
Do they have a shot to win again this year?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I think they're the favorites.
What about my boys, the Kings?
They got to get a little bit better, a little tighter defensively. But when you have Quick, I think he's the best goalie.
Is he the best goalie in the league?
I think so.
I think so. He's had a little shaky start, but you know the thing is with Quick, I think we talked about this last. Is Quick is the same with Fleury? They're so good at shootouts. That's like gaining an extra 8 points a year. That makes a big difference if you're so good at shooters. I mean, they're going to miss Carter though. I don't know how bad.
Now, how long is Carter out? Do we know?
Well, he's got one of those mysterious lower body injuries.
Yeah, that's the other thing. These upper body, lower body injuries.
It used to only be the playoffs, but now people are so intense all season long. It's kind of ruined hockey a little bit. I mean, I love it to death. A little bit because when there used to be 23 teams or 20 teams and 16 made the playoffs. You could be loosey-goosey until March.
Yeah.
But now there's 30 teams and 16 make the playoffs. People are shutting, running the left wing lock after the first period in October.
Yeah.
If you noticed that at all.
Yeah.
It's not those 6-5 shootouts not like they used to
be. Do you guys like the shootout format?
I do.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, you know, it's either that or ties.
Yeah.
Like watching a porn with clothes on.
Which I've done. Hey, I had a lower body injury during a date the other week.
I bet.
You know, folks. Also, we've got a guest.
Was it undisclosed? Or?
Yeah. It was closed.
San Jose is right up there this year, too. They're looking pretty good so far.
Yeah, and Niemi's playing. And Niemi's already won a cup. With the Chicago Blackhawks, and they, you know, San Jose has 4 lines of depth, and they seem to grow a pair after last year. They were always complete underachievers, but then it seemed like they won a playoff series last year they shouldn't have. They seem to have a little air about.
Well, they have my favorite new player, Tomas Hertel.
The most amazing goal of the year so far.
I've never seen a goal like that ever.
I mean, I saw it once in a shootout by in the Rangers, Merrick Malik.
Right, did that same move.
It went 17 rounds, and he was like literally the last guy they could use, and he did that same maneuver.
Really?
But, you know, in a shootout, when you don't have anyone hacking at you.
Yeah, it's a whole different deal. He's full steam in a mid-game, right? That was pretty impressive.
18.
Is he that good? Is this kid that good?
I mean, you know, I think he's going to be a marked man because of that goal. It's like, teams are going to be like, try that move again, kid.
Yeah. I saw one of the coaches interviewed after that, and he was going, that kid's going to get run at.
Well, you know, if he did that goal in the 70s, he wouldn't be playing the next game.
<laughs> You know? Yeah.
He would have gotten high-sticked or just sucked.
Well, they
bunch.
Did. They went after they went after John Tortorella, the Rangers' old coach, went after him in Vancouver, and he sent out an elder elbowed him in the head for 3 games.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
We're going to try to get Mr. Ian Bagg.
Ian Bagg?
Yeah, Canuck fan number one.
He loves the Canucks.
He loves the Canucks.
Yeah, man.
Talk about everything with him. You know, they retired Pavel Bure's number this weekend.
Did they really?
Yeah.
One of the greatest players I've ever seen.
Yeah, the Russian Rocket.
Wow, man. That guy.
He could fly.
Great player.
Oh, yeah.
He was part of the third worst loss in my history of my life.
Really?
Was the Vancouver Canucks losing...
To Team Canada?
No, to the New York Rangers.
Oh, okay.
Because I used to bartend with a guy who was a huge Ranger fan, and that was still in the days when that was 2 years after they injured Lemieux. So my hatred for the Rangers was very high.
Oh, you got to hate him.
And yeah. And he actually had a tattoo, Ranger tattoo, and it was like when he would wear a wife beater. Yeah. And then I thought that the Canucks were going to win. And
so that's how I felt about Claude Lemieux when he put out Draper.
Oh, my God. That was so horrible.
And I saw Lemieux at the Laugh Factory. I told him.
What did he say?
I go, dude,
Hello.
Ian Bagg. Yeah. Ian Bagg.
The great Ian Bagg, the best comic hockey player in the world.
The best comic.
In the world.
The greatest player ever.
He is. He's the man. Ian, this is obviously Joe Bardnick. We have Fraser Smith, the one and only Earl Skako in the house.
Hey-o.
What a crew.
I love it.
It's like an Amber Alert lineup in
there. It is kind of, yeah.
I know, my God, I'm pretty sure this isn't taking close to anywhere near a school.
Actually, we're right across the street from a gymboree.
Don't ask what's...
Of course, Earl would notice that right away.
Of course.
I know my surroundings.
Of course. Now, you're the biggest Vancouver fan ever.
That's right. I don't know if I'm the biggest Vancouver fan ever, but yeah, that's my team.
Those are your boys.
That's my team.
Yeah,
those
man.
My boys.
Now, how do they look so far this year, Ian Bagg?
I've only watched a couple of the games, but let me tell you something. It's going to be okay. I was concerned when Tortorella came in. I thought, oh, great. The only thing I'm going to be able to watch is the after-game snapping during a press conference, but they've been okay.
Yeah, the Sundin's just re-upped for 4 more years. I thought as soon as Tortorella showed up, they'd be on the first train back to Europe.
Well, you know what? Tortorella said something right away. As soon as he came in, he's like, I can't believe this. These guys work ethic. Because those guys work hard. Everybody's, oh, they're pansies. Gretzky didn't fight anybody. Glenn Anderson got beaten up. Gary Curry never fought anybody. You know, those are the kind of players they are. They're fantastic. They're not fighters. I don't want them to be fighters. They're our scorers.
Yeah.
So everybody says, well, the Sundins are sisters. Yeah, that's nice. Our sisters score. That's what we want them to do. It's the other part of the team that's been falling apart. So.
That's a very good point. What do you think about him splitting them up every now and then? You know, just to take the talent and kind of spray it around a couple lines, or do you think they should always be together?
No, I think you got to separate them every once in a while so you can see what the other one does. You can see the other one. I want to see the other one yearning for the other one on the ice, you know?
Brotherly love.
Yeah.
Now, you played a little bit of hockey yourself. In fact, many say you're the best celebrity player. I've heard that.
There's no way I'm the best celebrity player. There's a bunch of guys out there that are fantastic. I'm one of the good comic players, but I'm definitely not the best celebrity player. There's a bunch of guys that actually played.
How about MacGyver? Like, is MacGyver any good?
So.
Can MacGyver
I love
play?
The game,
oh, no.
And
no.
I'm old.
Oh,
I'm
no,
old, great.
No. We had Steve Byrne here last week, and, you know, Steve's a very good hockey player, a great, great comic hockey player, and we both concurred. You are the best, and you go half speed, and you're better than everybody.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm the best. All right.
speaking of the best, they retired Pavel Bure in Vancouver. I'm an old man. I remember when he came into the league. I mean, how great was he, though? Jeez.
Do you remember when he, I think it was during the point, I can't remember if it was against Dallas or St. Louis, or the guy named Churla. He was a big fighter. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Shane Churla. We have our goon expert on staff right here.
And Bure, if he'd been hit now, he would have been tested for concussions and kept off the ice for about 3 weeks. Because Bure nailed him like you would. One of the best hits I've ever seen. It took him out of, I think he was out of the game for like two. Rather serious for two games or something like that. It was crazy.
He knocked him out cold with a nice elbow.
Yeah, back in the
there's no elbow. Get lost there. Come on.
You can't knock out Churla clean.
Yeah. That's a Don't suspension.
Don't use the last name Skakel and tell me you know about dirty.
I do. Bure was in the tree where the body was found.
Hey, speaking of Bure, when the Russians played the Canadians first, I guess, in 72, right, in the Summit Series or whatever? Yeah. How close was that? I mean, were the Russians better than the Canadians? Were they as...
Yes. And I'll tell you why. That was back when guys still had summer jobs, and they drank right up until probably October 4th and ate until October 4th, and preseason started October 3rd. You know, guys didn't stray.
Even a day into the season, they were drinking.
After that.
Yeah. So,
I think the Espositos gained weight during the season. That's how.
So the Russians at that point were ahead of us then, huh?
Well, because they played every day. They were apparently an amateur team, but they were a professional team. That's all they did was train. But they were amazing, and they had this great stick handling and this amazing skill of the game, which is actually propelled the game so much more once you've mixed it with the North American style. And the North American style was just grit and hitting and nailing guys, and one guy basically taking the puck and going ice to ice with it. If you look back at what was going on back then, and then once you took the skill of being a tough guy with the European style of play, that's what has turned our game so amazing, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the whole Russian style of the swinging around. I mean, when they came, remember when the Red Wings had like all five Russians on the team, it was like not magical, whatever the word I'm trying to say. So innovative and revolutionary to the NHL. Now, a lot of NHL teams have that style.
Oh, totally. It's just that cycling that goes on with the puck, you know? Everybody cycling and moving the puck. That's the European style. Yeah. I'm not against that at all.
No, it's puck control.
The North American style, there was still imagination going on the ice. There was no imagination in the old European game. They did what they were taught during practice, and they stuck to that theory or to those moves the whole time. Almost like football. Like you always go the route. You know, there was no breaking off from it.
Right. You know what's funny about that though is like actually in like the first wave of the Russians, like the great Russians that came, those were some of the most athletic and innovative guys in the game at that time though. Like Beret, Fedorov at the time Fedorov was amazing. And now today, you know, I mean McGillney, and now today, you know, like some of the best, most creative, you know, Ovechkin, Malkin, like those are the leading, I call them the witches. You know.
Right.
Like the guys are just like, what the hell was that with the puck? You know, just.
Well, I was looking at the all centennial team, and it was Gretzky was the only Canadian. The rest were all Europeans.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You remember the first two Russians that came into the league? It was Krutov and Larionov.
Well, and I think Makarov, who was he won the Rookie of the Year.
Where's that?
He won the Rookie of the Year for Vancouver, and that changed the rules because he was like 35. And they were like, you have to be a certain age, you know, to win that award after that.
Makarov? He wasn't in Vancouver, was he?
Yeah, yeah. It was Larionov and Sergei Makarov.
Wow.
Number four. I think he was...
No. The first we got were Krutov. Because Krutov didn't turn out. Krutov showed up and he started gaining weight. He immediately started eating as soon as he signed his contract. He never changed so much money.
Probably wasn't allowed to eat in Russia.
He saw a McDonald's.
Well, yeah, of course. They used to find him. They used to find him at the hot dog stands inside the old P&E ground.
It's like Jay Johnstone with the Dodgers. How great was primetime Gretzky?
Oh, the
how
best.
Great was
you know, I think I was too young to see all that. I remember my dad just being blown away by him. My dad was like, this guy's crazy, blah, blah, blah. You should be more like Gretzky. And I was like, no. I want to fight people.
Well, and plus too, you were right in the crucible of where you had to see Gretzky seven times a year and probably build up a little bit of hatred, even though the guy was
great. Right.
You know, I mean, people who play the Bulls every year, seven times a year, they kind of hated Jordan.
Oh, I hated the Oilers were just like, just hated when he was like, I hated orange and blue and white. Just used to drive me insane when I seen that color. And it's just, they were just always just... And the biggest problem with the Canucks during the 80s was any record that was broken, if you look at a goalie that was in the net, it was a... Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
It was a fucking goaltender from the Canucks.
Richard Brodeur, King Richard.
Richard Brodeur, Captain Kirk. He was all... They were always brave. I was just like, oh my God, really? Do we have to be on every bad highlight? So it was just like, well, I guess that's how you get into the book somehow, right? Being scored on by Gretzky as he's breaking a record.
So. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Now, who do you think's the best team out there this year?
Honestly, for me, it's too early. But San Jose is pretty crazy. Pittsburgh's always good. Toronto sucks. The Rangers, they didn't really get to start at home for so long. I think they're going to take a couple years, but they're going to be good again because I think there's just the way it's going to be. Detroit.
Let me jump. No, that's a great. I never knew Elaine Vigneault's style. How do you think he's going to help the Rangers? You know, because obviously Tortorella kind of stunted them a little bit. They, I mean, when you put Brad Richards on the fourth line, you know, you're.
Right.
Pissing in the soup.
Well, Tortorella's got a shelf life. Like, he comes in and he shakes up a team and he gets them to be accountable for defense. He's got probably a shelf life of 3 years, and if they buy into that system, they'll do really well for those 3 years.
Right.
They've seen that, and then the fourth year, everybody's just stepping out of it, right?
Right. He's like Terry.
Right. And then guys, from what I hear, Vigneault is just a player's coach. Guys love playing for him. But the other thing is, there's some guys, when he shuns you, he shuns you big time. So I don't know. I kind of find it interesting that there's already a goalie controversy there. Like, Lundqvist is kind of sucking it, and what's his face retired? I was just like, Biron. I was like, wow.
Right. Well, Biron, he got burned by Hurdle so bad. Hurdle literally
ran him out. We were just talking about Hurdle. What do you think about Hurdle? What do you think about that goal?
I think it's great. Why would we be against celebrating? It wasn't like crazy celebrating. It was excitement. The kid scored like crazy amount of goals, and then he was able to do that. I don't know.
I
don't either. I think
they need fun in the league. Well, you know, the thing now is, I guess, well, Henrik is Lundqvist. It's the end of his contract. So he might want out. And, you know, the New York press, too, they might just be kind of throwing a little controversy just for the sake of throwing controversy around, you know.
I think they kind of a little bit, because they have nothing really going on in New York, so they need to find some sort of sports controversy.
Yeah. Now, who do you think's better, the Kings or the Ducks this year?
Kings. Why do you say the Ducks?
Well, no, I like the Kings, but the Ducks are pretty good. They've gotten off to a good start.
The Ducks are good. The Ducks are good, and I like Boudreaux. Is Boudreaux that's coaching out there? Is that who's coaching there?
Yeah. Barbecue Bruce.
Exactly. I think he seems like a fun guy to play for, and I think that's going to show. And I just think the Kings are just, they're for destruction, man. So once they get going, once they start rolling, they can, like, they're big and fast. Like, that's annoying when they're big and fast.
Right.
We always had fast or big in Vancouver. Not, we either had Sandlack or Bure.
Do you think the players are bigger these days?
Oh, yeah. That's why there's so many injuries and so many head injuries.
That's what we were saying, is there's more concussions now, or at least more reported ones. Is that because of size?
I think it's more reported, but I also think the size of the guys and the speed that they get, and like this, the training, like this, the, like we said, working out all the time. I think that's got a lot to do with it. But I also think that the guys just want to play longer and they want to be healthy when they retire, so they report things. Like, I was talking to a couple. I was working in Ontario Improv last night, and there's a couple guys that work there, and we're just talking about boxing, and two of the guys played football, and we're talking about being knocked out, and we're talking about being knocked out when you actually hit somebody, being the guy that's on the offensive. Have you ever done that?
Where you throw a punch and knock the guy out, and he knocks you out at the same time?
No, if you're playing football, and we're going to say hockey, and you take the charge and you hit the guy so hard, it shakes your bell, and you see white patches all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I was a bad form tackler. I just put my head in there and get killed.
I didn't see a lot of that from the bench.
but you couldn't say that you were hurt after you hit somebody, or else you looked like a complete pansy, right?
Yeah, back in the day, yeah, but nowadays.
Nowadays guys they want to survive, so they bring that up, and I remember. It was almost like that's what you went for when you hit people.
Absolutely. I mean, the NFL still sells it. The NHL still sells it to an extent. I mean, but the problem is, I think, is not the big, huge hits. I mean, I wish you could bring back the Scott Stevens hits. My problem, the hits I don't like are the Matt Cook hits, or the Patrick Coletta hits, or the John Scott hits. I don't like just the elbow to the temple. For no reason. I think the league needs to get rid of those. I mean, I don't know what you feel about that, but I think it's ruining the game.
I don't need Louis Anderson hurt.
Louis Anderson plays hockey.
I mean Louis Erickson. Right, I'd rather see Louis. I'd rather see Louis Erickson than John Scott.
Don't bring the young boys please. To the game.
Now, I was talking to John Sally about the old Bad Boy Pistons, and he said that you know things are different these days in basketball. They try to protect their marquee players, their money players. Is that same thing in NHL? Try to keep those guys on the ice?
Well, they do it in all sports now. I mean, look at football. Look at quarterback. You can't touch him.
I don't know. Is he Ian either?
I think we lost
him. We lost him.
Uh-oh.
But if you they're doing that in all sports. I mean, look at the beatings Terry Bradshaw used to take.
No, but you know what, though? I don't think they do. I don't think they protect the stars enough in the NHL. I mean, you know, and I hate to sound like the homer and the cry, but like when they attack Crosby, Milbury's all on TV saying, oh, that guy showed guts. He cheap shot at a guy. How is that guts?
Oh, Milbury's the worst.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you know, you would never see someone, if someone cheap shotted Kobe Bryant, you would never see the guys on ESPN saying that was beautiful. Well, that's how you play the game of basketball. You would if someone cheap shot, if someone took out Dwayne Wade's knees, you would never see the guy on ESPN say, you know, that takes guts to do that. That's a team guy. They wouldn't do that.
I mean, you know, it's just the whole game is different, you know. And like I was watching a YouTube Barry Beck's greatest hits. If you YouTube Barry Beck's greatest hits, every hit would be a major penalty today. He was running guys, going up off his skates. And back then, it was fine.
Who do you think the best checker in the modern era is?
I mean, there
clean
was,
hits.
Steve Webb on the island. He doesn't play anymore, but if you YouTube Steve Webb hits, he played on the Islanders. No one hit cleaner but as hard as he did.
Totally, totally clean. I know it's like a homer game. Totally clean. Chris Kunitz is way up there for the Penguins. He won a cup with the Ducks. He won one with the Penguins. He literally changed the whole series. First shift against the Flyers 3 years, 4 years ago. First dump in, he hit Timonen so hard, clean check, boom. Timonen limped off, lower body injury, never came back. And
those LBIs will get
you. And he's totally, totally clean. To me, the greatest hitter of all time is Scott Stevens.
Scott Stevens, pretty awesome, wasn't he? Yeah, clean.
I mean, he put my all-time favorite player of all time, Ron Francis, like three-time Lady Bing and number two all-time assist. He knocked him. You talk about the concussion rule. Francis crawled back to the bench, then took a shift like two.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he knocked Lindros out of the league.
He knocked the lady out of Bing.
I mean, he crushed Lindros. You know. I mean, Lindros. He put Lindros down like he knocked Lindros out of the league, basically.
Whatever happened to Lindros?
Just bad head. You know, he had to. Just too many shots to the head. You know, his brother had to retire for the same reason.
So that was a concussion-prone family?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. I mean,
because he seemed when he came in, he was big and tough. It seemed like.
Well, he played with his head down a lot. Yeah.
Right, and that's a big problem when guys are. You see it a lot on rookies in the league. They're used to being in juniors or in college. They're a little better than everybody. They can skate with their head down for a second.
Well, that was.
And then they come in the NHL, and you know what? You can't have your head down right there.
Well, even the Mighty Ducks touch of that on the movie.
Well, it's kind of like what I mean. Not I mean I definitely think Elder went after Hurdle, but you know Hurdle had his head down at the blue line,
and you can't watch your pass.
You can't have that happen.
You can't watch your pass either. That was Erickson's problem. He makes this great pass, and he's like, "Oh, this is a great arena." Scott's like, "All right." Yeah, okay.
I mean, but if it was an elbow, it was a charge. I mean, he skated from the bench to the other wall.
I mean, it was a questionable hit, but it was late.
Whatever you want to say, it was late.
If Erickson's not looking at the whores in the 200 section,
Earl Skago, you know I love you, and you know you're one of my favorite people. Oh, but there's no way you cannot say that it was not a late hit.
It was on the fence. I'm not a John Scott fan or a Sabre fan.
We lost Ian. I can't believe it.
He was such a great guest.
He's
too.
A great guest.
He's a great guy. He's great guy.
Funniest dude I know.
And so is Skakel's a great guest too.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
now what's your coolest Goon jersey that your favorite?
Well, I have often said if I could just keep one, it would definitely be a Sabres jersey, ironically. The 2 days after 9/11, The Rangers and Sabres played a game. It was the first sporting event after 9/11. And the Sabres' usual logo is a buffalo head. For this game, they wore shirts that said New York across it. And I got Eric Bolton's shirt.
Wow.
In which he fought Sandy McCarthy. And so when I got it out of the box, there was blood on it.
Who won that fight?
I was pretty even. They had a nice rivalry. But the funniest part was for, I guess, a month and a half, they auctioned them off, and the proceeds went to the police and firemen. They had 40 jerseys, 20 Rangers, 20 Sabre jerseys, in a pile for 2 months, unwashed.
Wow.
So I was so excited to get the jersey. I put it on and wore it that night to a show, and the stench was unbelievable.
Well, at least no one rushed the stage.
Right.
Now, how did you do on the set?
Set was at Jay Davis's room. At the time, it was the Moggy's. And,
all right.
I had it was a good set, but no one would come near me.
Well, no one could come near you because they had that moat. You actually had to jump over the bridge to get to the stage.
It was horrific, the stench.
Oh, my God. Dude.
2 months, and with 39 other shirts piled on top of it.
Gosh. Oh, just just the smell of hockey gloves in my trunk is amazing.
So if you're going to but that's probably the one I would keep just because it's memorable. The others.
It's got the 9/11 factor.
Yeah. So, and that was,
And blood.
Blood. I think it's Sandy McCarthy's blood.
Sandy McCarthy.
Wow, we're going to have to send out for DNA samples.
Sandy McCarthy, it was funny, he's from the roid era of the Goons.
Oh, no, I got to ask you something. Are there roids in hockey?
Oh, absolutely.
There are?
Yeah.
Do they test?
No, but McCarthy's a great example. He was someone who ballooned up, was dominating, and then when he was with the Rangers, you could clearly tell he was off of them, and Brashear killed him one fight, and he was never the same.
Well, you can always tell because their helmet doesn't fit anymore.
Yeah.
Then they're
yeah,
on roids.
But McCarthy got ridiculously huge, and you could tell he was roid raging because he freaked out on the bench that one time. Remember he was flexing the Incredible Hulk?
Who was it? Fleury, Fleury got cheap shotted, and Fleury was boozed up back then, so he's egging McCarthy on to get going. And then it was the Rangers Islanders back when, rivalry games were fun to watch.
Right.
So, I had a friend of mine who played in the league. He was definitely on roids.
Really? Yeah.
I don't want to say his name.
Now, how do you think they help you? I mean, added strength, but also what? Recovery?
I don't think in hockey for fighters, I think they help. Tony Twist was a big, big heavyweight back in the 90s, and he was no one wanted to fight him because he was just clearly so much stronger than everyone.
Right. How about the little guys that are good fighters like Ty Domi?
No, Domi was great. He had a head like a boulder.
He still fought the heavyweights, though.
Well, that's what I mean. Those little guys, I love them because they take on the big guys.
Well, that's the most exciting fight to me is not the stage goons. It's the fights that happen. Just the guys that want to throw.
How about guys like Tiger Williams? A tiny little guy, but he was tougher than hell.
Probably the most exciting fighter I've ever seen was, and he's the Capitals GM, is George McPhee. If you look up YouTube George McPhee fights, rock him, sock him. I mean, he just didn't care. He'd put his head down and just throw.
Wow.
And you could hit him. He wouldn't go down. He was very much like Ty Domi.
That's like P.J. Stock, the old Boston Bruin.
He was great.
He'd throw 1,000 punches in a second. No, literally. There was one this week. I forget the two guys that were fighting, but it was an old school one where you just see punches on both sides, 50 in a row.
Yeah.
Both sides. Those are the fun ones. You don't see those too much anymore.
But now the fighters, I'm sure they get banged up and get hurt, but it's not as bad as a stick thing. Where somebody could really get hurt.
Well, that's another reason why they technically keep hockey. They keep fighting in because they you don't want guys in Europe. They all swing their sticks at each other, and that's what you really don't want.
Yeah,
you'd rather have guys that can fight. And that's what people gave to get back to John Scott. Everyone gave Phil Kessel because Kessel swung his stick at John Scott 4 times to try to Paul Bunyan him down.
Yeah, he was like waving a machete. Then he speared him when Scott was tied up by 4 guys. Kessel did not come off looking very good on that.
Well, Gordie Howe, I'm a big Red Wings fan. Of course, Gordie Howe was a great fighter back in his era, but he was also known as a stick surgeon. And I remember they were telling a story about he was playing in that other league for Houston.
WHL.
Yeah, when he was like 50 years old. He was the oldest guy to ever play pro hockey.
Right.
And he's in the game, and some young punk took a run at him, you know, a rookie. So the next play, they're down on the other end, and Gordy, they said his stick was like an inch from the guy's nose, and Gordy goes, check out, Junior. And the kid just fell down and hit the boards.
Well, Messier was like that.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing they took away from the they stopped in the league was when you were running at guys, they would you used to be able to keep your stick up, and they started penalizing the guys for that. Oh, you know, really? It used to be if a guy like Scott would come at you, you could stick your stick up, hit him right in the chops. Then they started penalizing the guy with the stick up.
Ah, Messier was a good stick.
Oh, yeah. he was very Gordie Howe like.
Yeah,
mean, great player.
One of the most vicious players of all time. Messier,
really?
Yeah, and especially the most vicious. Well, I mean, I don't. Yeah, he was like more vicious than Gordie Howe.
He was, I think.
he was a vicious man. On wow. The
more mean spirited. Uh huh.
I guess that's the word. Yeah. The proper.
Term. Now, who was the? Who do you think's the fastest skater ever?
That's tough. Well, I mean,
LaFleur? Hall.
If LaFleur got to play today with modern equipment, he would. You know, it's so tough to judge.
Especially Madonna could fly.
Madonna.
Beret could fly.
Oh, Beret is very fast, yeah.
Jeff Carter's one of the faster Carter players. Marlowe of San Jose is a very, very fast player.
Oh, uh-huh. the guy on the Islanders. Tavares, I think, is one of the five best players in the league. I'm going to look him up.
Well, they said that.
Grabner. I didn't even look.
Oh, yeah.
I knew by heart. Michael Grabner.
You grabbed that right out of the air. Grabnered that right out of the air. back in my era, you know, Bobby Hull was said to have the hardest shot, miles per hour, over 100, and also the fastest skater at 30 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, now the hardest shot, it's a group of three guys, Chara, who I think did 106, Shea Weber, and Sheldon Surrey.
Is Sheldon Surrey still in the league?
He's hurt. He's on Anaheim, but I think he had a wrist. He's kind of injury prone.
And Chara's got one of the hardest shots?
I actually bought one of Chara's sticks to play with.
You did? Did it help your shot?
Oh, absolutely.
It did?
I don't know. You know, sticks are like golf clubs to the pros. A lot of customizations done, and when I got it in the mail, I knew it would be a tall stick. Like, I play with sticks at my nose level.
Right.
Chara's stick was probably 6'4". I had to cut it down. And it was it's a warrior stick. And it was like holding a tree oak in your hand. It was definitely wider and thicker.
And heavier?
Yeah. I feel like we're talking about something else right now.
Was it game used or was it like...
It was used.
It was used?
But it was... The guy sold me one that was in good condition and... I don't know if it's the aura of the stick, but my shot's a lot harder.
Wow, dude. Well, you know what? The other thing is, can you doctor sticks like you used to? I don't know that you can. I mean, what happened in the McSorley thing? What was the deal? It was just too big, too curved?
Well, the players knew that he had used an illegal stick, and usually the equipment manager would change out the sticks in the third period, which is when teams would check. Ah,
right.
And there was definitely a miscommunication.
So we can actually blame the equipment dude?
Yeah.
For the Kings' loss?
Yeah, they would have won the Cup that year. I know it. They would have been up 2-0, three games in I went to all three games here, and we would have been up 2-0.
I mean, yeah, Earl is that's the greatest. Earl is a King fan. That's why you got to love the Kings, because they have
Well, he grew tradition. Up in Sherman Oaks.
Right.
How did you get into hockey?
Well, you know, it's funny. King games in the 70s weren't on TV here. You know, there's literally two games a year.
Right.
But my parents got the Ranger cable station, WOR. So my first player I ever watched was Barry Beck, because he was just so much bigger than everyone. He had a huge afro. Yeah. And he was just he was like the Shaq of hockey. So I got into following him and the Rangers, and then the King games slowly got on TV here, on TV. And
Right, on TV.
If you know,
the purple and gold era.
Oh, my God. I mean,
were you at the Miracle on Manchester?
I was there. I just was in an HBO documentary about the greatest games ever that fans were at live. And I can remember every goal. I remember as a kid seeing Jerry Buss and all these whores leaving in the second period. And I was like, why are they leaving? He's the owner.
I remember I was actually with them one time.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
The whores or Jerry Buss?
Both.
Both.
Yeah, I was with both. That was a great era, man. Now, how good was Marcel Dion?
If he played in Montreal or a bigger hockey market, he would have been, you know, he was the best player before Gretzky.
Right, yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, he would score. That's how great Gretzky was. I mean, Dion was scoring about 120 points a season. Gretzky's first year, he scored, they both had 137 points. And then Gretzky just started scoring 200 points a season.
200.
I mean, he was doubling basically what Dion was doing.
Wow.
Now, he had a lot more help.
Sure.
I mean, Dion, it was...
A ton more. I love the great one, but he had a Hall of Fame with him.
Well, I mean, it was basically...
He made them better, though, too. So it's give and take, but...
Well, I often think Lemieux, if you put him on Edmonton...
Oh, he would have, yeah.
I mean, people forget how bad the teams... When Lemieux, he was playing with, like, Gary Risling and...
Joe knows.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But, you know, if you put Lemieux with Messier, Anderson, Curry, Coffey, even the Goons were the best. Semenko was the best of that era.
Of the Goons.
They had the best of everything.
Yeah.
Which made the Kings beating them so unbelievable. I mean, 5-0, third period, 14 minutes left. Oilers, I'll never forget, were laughing at the Kings. And then Jay Wells scored. He never scored. And then it was crazy.
That was a miracle.
I mean, it was really. Manchester. And the I just remember the feeling in the arena in between the third and the overtime was just... the most unbelievable feeling I've ever felt in an arena.
Wow.
That's how I knew where the AC/DC concert was, because my buddy, we were lost. I'm like, it's on Manchester.
Of course.
It's the Miracle on Manchester. I know where the Forum's at. Don't turn off of Manchester.
Well, you would double up.
You found it.
You would go to a Tokyo Massage on Manchester right before the King game. Then you'd see all these guys in line, and then you'd see the same group in line at the hot dog stand an hour later.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. Hope they wash their hands. Okay, we're going to – good night, everybody. Hey, thanks for joining
us,
Earl Skakel. You were
very
fantastic.
I love Joe and Frazier. Support Live Hockey Podcast.
Thank you, buddy. And Joe, great job, man.
You
good to
too.
See you.
It's awesome.
It's really fun. Join
good
us
time.
Next week on Puck Off. And we want to thank Ian Bagg, too.
Oh, absolutely, right. Ian Bagg.
Thanks for joining us.